The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Dr. Scott Youngkin for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Health Issues. For the next half hour, I'm going to be reading articles from the Harvard Heart Letter and also from the Harvard Health Letter. I'm going to continue with the Harvard Heart Letter for March of 2022. The first article I'm going to read is entitled, The Heart-Related Hazards of Air Pollution. How does this invisible threat affect your cardiovascular system, and what can you do about it? Unless you happen to catch a whiff of diesel exhaust from a bus or a truck, chances are you don't think about air pollution very often. But pollution is an often overlooked yet important contributor to cardiovascular disease, according to a review published in the November 11, 2021 issue of the New England Journal of Medicine. Although the air we breathe is much cleaner today than it was 50 years ago, it's still contaminated by largely odorless, invisible gases and tiny particles generated by burning fossil fuels. Coal-fired power plants, steel mills, and vehicle tailpipes are the main contributors. Smoke from wildfires, especially massive fires like those that have ravaged western forests in recent years, also add to the burden. Most people don't appreciate the health consequences of poor air quality, says Dr. Murray Mittleman, professor of epidemiology at the Harvard T.H. Chan School of Public Health. Even in relatively clean cities that comply with EPA air quality standards, relatively low levels of air pollution appear to increase the risk of heart attack and stroke, he says. Of particular concern are particles less than 2.5 microns in diameter, known as PM2.5. They are so minuscule they aren't trapped by the filters in the nose and upper airway that serve as the body's natural defense against airborne contaminants. The particles travel deep down in the lungs, where they irritate receptors and trigger nerves involved in regulating your heart rate, breathing, and other vital functions. This phenomenon likely explains why even short-term exposure to high levels of air pollution can raise the risk of heart rhythm disorders like atrial fibrillation, says Dr. Mittleman. But the irritation caused by PM2.5 and other molecules in air pollution can also spur inflammation, the outpouring of immune system cells, as well as other substances that accelerate atherosclerosis, in other words, the fatty plaques inside the arteries. Tiny cell fragments in the blood called platelets also become stickier and more prone to clotting. Together, these changes make heart attacks and strokes more likely. Research shows that these risks appear to rise in tandem with increases in PM2.5 levels, both in the short term and over the long term. And by long term, they mean 1 to 5 years, according to the NEJM article. Incremental rises in PM2.5 levels are also linked to a higher risk of being hospitalized or dying from heart failure. PM2.5 and other components of air pollution include ground-level ozone play a role in climate change. Climate change, in turn, can worsen the damaging health effects caused by air pollution by many interconnected ways, High temperatures promote the creation of ground-level ozone and raise the risk of wildfires and dust storms, which creates more PM2.5. Sweltering temperatures boost electricity demand and, in turn, more fossil fuel combustion. Finally, temperature extremes may make heart attacks and strokes more deadly. The recent push to shift toward cleaner forms of energy to help combat climate change should have a favorable effect on air quality, says Dr. Middleman. To lessen your personal risk and contributions related to pollution, you can look at another article which is attached called Curbing Pollution's Harms. And I already largely read that article in our previous discussion. I'm going to emphasize one point that it makes. It says, in addition, everyone, regardless of heart health, should work on cutting pollution production. Walk, ride a bicycle, carpool, or use public transportation. Consolidate driving trips whenever possible. Buy a hybrid or electric car. Choose renewable energy from your local electricity supplier, like solar or wind power. Conserve energy by purchasing energy-efficient appliances and turn off lights, computers, televisions, and other electrical devices if you're not using them. Finally, from the Harvard Heart Letter, I'm going to read a section called Research We're Watching. The first is, fish is linked to a lower risk of vascular brain disease. Older adults who eat fish several times a week may be less likely to develop early signs of cerebral vascular disease. Cerebral vascular disease, which refers to disorders that affect the blood flow to the brain, includes strokes, mini strokes, and related problems. Published in November 30, 2021 issue of Neurology, the study included 1,623 people aged 65 and older. Their average age was 72, and none of them had had a history of stroke, dementia, or hospitalization for heart disease. These participants completed food questionnaires and received brain MRI scans. Researchers examined the scans for three markers of possible early cerebrovascular disease: damage from tiny previously undetected strokes, abnormalities of the brain's white matter, and enlarged fluid-filled spaces around blood vessels. People who ate fish twice a week had a lower prevalence of those markers compared with people who reported they had fish less than once a week. The effect was most pronounced in people who were younger than 75. Researchers adjusting the findings for possible confounding factors like smoking, exercise, and alcohol use, while other unmeasured influences may explain the apparent brain benefits from fish, the findings lined up with other research linking fish and cardiovascular health. The next article is entitled, Low-Level Exposure to Toxic Metals, a Risk for Clogged Arteries? Being exposed to even low levels of certain toxic metals may raise a person's risk for clogged arteries, a new study finds. The study included 1,900 middle-aged people, almost all men, who worked in an auto body factory. Researchers tested urine samples to measure the participants' exposure to 9 toxic metals in the air, in the water, and in the food. Next, they checked for early signs of atherosclerosis, the buildup of fatty plaque in arteries in 3 different areas, the neck, the thigh, and the heart. Higher levels of arsenic, cadmium, and titanium exposure were associated with a higher likelihood of early atherosclerosis, even after researchers adjusted for other factors like smoking, elevated blood pressure, and cholesterol. Arsenic can be found in well water, but also occurs with cadmium in tobacco and certain foods. Exposure to titanium comes mainly from dental and orthopedic implants, screws, pacemaker casings, cosmetic products, and some foods. It points out that the study was published online in the December 9, 2021 issue of the journal Arteriosclerosis, Thrombosis, and Vascular Biology. Finally, there's a brief article entitled Anger or Emotional Upset May Trigger Stroke. 1 in 11 stroke survivors felt angry or upset in the hour before their stroke symptoms began. This comes from a study that was published in the December 1st, 2021 issue of the European Heart Journal. The study included 13,462 people from 32 countries who'd had a stroke. During their first 3 days in the hospital, they filled out extensive questionnaires about their medical history and what they'd been doing and feeling before their stroke. According to the study authors, anger or emotional upset was linked to a 30% higher risk of having a stroke within 1 hour of experiencing those emotions. Another potential stroke trigger was heavy physical exertion, although the evidence was a lot less convincing. The findings lend further support to the link between mental stress and cardiovascular health. Now we're going to turn to the Harvard Health Letter. This again is the March 2022 issue. And the first article is a article entitled The 10 Rules of a Heart Healthy Diet. The latest guidelines give you the flexibility to create a healthy diet that fits your lifestyles and need. Eating a healthy diet is a cornerstone of treating and preventing heart disease. That's easy to understand, but sometimes hard to implement. There's no one-size-fits-all eating plan that will work for everyone. With that in mind, the American Heart Association updated its dietary guidelines for the first time in 15 years. Instead of listing do's and don'ts of specific nutrients, the new guidelines, which are published in the November 2nd issue of the journal Circulation, focus on healthy eating patterns. As long as you stay within the following rules, you can tailor a heart-healthy diet to your tastes and your needs. First of all, you need to balance your calorie intake with your physical activity. Weight gain is a risk factor for cardiovascular disease, and taking in more calories than you burn off leads to weight gain. Talk to a dietitian to find out how many calories you need to eat, considering how active you are. It may only require a few tweaks to your diet to have the calories you eat balance the calories you burn during activity. Maybe you need to reduce fast food and make room for nutritious food. Maybe your portions are too large. For example, you might have put a cup of beans in your salad where a quarter cup is more appropriate, says Liz Moore, a registered dietitian at Harvard-affiliated Beth Israel Deaconess Medical Center. Secondly, eat a variety of fruits and vegetables. consume a rainbow of colorful fruits and vegetables, which are full of nutrients and many types of beneficial plant molecules. If you do this, that's linked to a reduced risk of cardiovascular disease and early death. You should get at least 5 servings per day. Moore says the produce doesn't have to be fresh. It can be frozen or canned. I prefer frozen because canned foods have added salt, but you can reduce salt by rinsing the canned vegetables. Thirdly, choose whole grain foods and products. The guidelines stress the importance of eating whole grains like whole wheat bread or brown rice over refined grains like white bread or white rice. That's because eating whole grains every day is linked to a reduced risk for cardiovascular disease, heart attack, stroke, and diabetes. Keep it interesting by trying whole grains that are new to you, like quinoa, buckwheat, or wild rice. They have B vitamins and protein, and they're not hard to find in most stores. Number 4 is choose healthy proteins. The guidelines suggest eating mostly plant-based proteins like nuts or legumes. And legumes include beans and lentils, along with 2 to 3 servings of fish every week. They're all associated with a lower cardiovascular disease risk. And while it's still debated, the new guidelines recommend replacing full-fat dairy products with low-fat dairy, like milk or yogurt, for better heart health. If you want meat or poultry, the guidelines urge eating only low-fat cuts and staying away from processed meats of any kind. How much protein do you need? Don't worry about reaching a number, Moore advises. Just include protein in every meal, whether it's beans, fish, or low-fat cheese. Fifth, the heart-healthy diet calls for liquid plant oils instead of tropical oils. The cardiovascular benefit of unsaturated fats like plant oils are especially effective when they replace saturated fats like those in red meat and in tropical oils like coconut or palm oil. That's not a license to drown foods in plant-based oil. Oils are still fats, and fat contains twice as many calories per gram as protein and carbohydrate. The right amount for you depends on your calorie goals. 6, it says that you should choose minimally processed foods. The guidelines note that eating ultra-processed foods, which are loaded with salt, sugar, fat, and preservatives, is tied to an increased risk for obesity, diabetes, heart disease, and death. Avoid processed meats. Avoid frozen meals. Avoid ready-made baked goods, chips, and other processed foods. Opt for whole foods that haven't been processed and packaged to survive on a shelf for long periods. 7, you should minimize your intake of foods and drinks with added sugar. Consuming sugary foods and drinks has been associated with an elevated risk for diabetes, cardiovascular disease, and weight gain. Scan the nutrition facts label for added sugars, or look for added sugars in the ingredients list. Search for names like glucose, dextrose, sucrose, corn syrup, honey, maple syrup, or concentrated fruit juice. Try to keep them out of your diet as much as possible. 8. You should choose or prepare foods with little or no salt. The guidelines warn that eating too much salt may increase your blood pressure, which is a risk factor for heart attack and stroke. Extra salty foods include restaurant fare and processed foods, but salt hides in salt in salad dressing and in whole wheat bread. Read the food labels carefully to check the salt levels and keep your intake below 2,300 milligrams of sodium per day. 9. Limit alcohol consumption. If you don't drink, don't start. Drinking too much alcohol increases the risk for stroke and dangerous irregular heartbeats, the guidelines warn. Limit yourself to no more than one drink per day if you're a woman, and two drinks per day if you're a man. Finally, number 10, use these guidelines whenever you dine. Apply the guidelines to meals you eat in any setting. How does that work if you're at a friend's house or a restaurant? It may be fun, but it's not a free-for-all. You still need to watch your portions, Moore said, and minimize sauces or ask for them on the side. They're often sources of salt, sugar, and fat. Don't beat yourself up if you break the rules once in a while. Just do a better job at your next meal. Your heart is counting on you. Next is a section called Ask the Doctor with Dr. Anthony Komaroff, Editor-in-Chief. Again, this is the Harvard Health Letter of March 2022. Should I keep exercising if I can't lose weight? Question. I've tried for 40 years to get down to a healthy weight by exercising. I take brisk walks for about 2 or 3 hours every week, just like you recommend. But I'm about to quit because I just can't lose enough weight to make exercise worth doing. Is there another reason I should keep going? And Dr. Komaroff says, yes, there is. Don't stop exercise, even if you can't get down to a healthy weight. Why? Because regular exercise brings enormous health benefits, even if you can't get down to a healthy weight. A recent comprehensive analysis of the health benefits of regular exercise, published in the October 22, 2021 issue of the journal Science, makes this point loud and clear. Regular exercise makes you physically fit, and being fit reduces your risk of heart disease, stroke, diabetes, Alzheimer's disease, and premature death, even if you can't get down to a healthy weight. Here are the numbers as pulled together from many studies that followed thousands of people for many decades, including several studies conducted here at Harvard Medical School. If you are overweight and unfit, your risk of premature death is double the risk of someone who is the same age and sex and is also overweight but remains fit. The same is true if your health is in the healthy range. Your weight is in the healthy range. Being fit reduces your risk. And if instead of your risk of premature death, we're talking about your risk of a heart attack, a stroke, diabetes, or Alzheimer's disease, the same general point would be true. Regular exercise will reduce your risk, even if you can't achieve a healthy weight. One of the reasons people who are overweight are at risk for poor health is that they are more likely to have certain risk factors for various major diseases, like high blood pressure, high cholesterol, and high blood sugar. Regular exercise improves all these risk factors, even if you can't achieve a healthy weight. When I talk with my patients about the things they can do to increase their chance of a long life, they sometimes respond by saying something like, "Why would I want to live longer? It would just prolong the years of my decrepitude." That's a common misconception. In fact, the same practices that extend a person's life also reduce the risk of decrepitude. In 2021, Hester Ford of Charlotte, North Carolina, the oldest person in the United States, passed away at the age of 116. That's 116. She attributed her longevity to walking several miles every day, even past the age of 100. She lived a long life, and she remained vital right up to the end, because she just kept walking. Now here's a brief article from a Harvard study, Fish Oil Doesn't Prevent Depression. This comes from the news briefs of Harvard Health Letter, March 2022. Fish oil, or omega-3 fatty acid supplements, are sometimes used to help prevent heart disease, to treat inflammatory conditions, and to manage existing depression. But fish oil doesn't prevent depression in healthy older adults, according to a randomized study led by Harvard psychiatrist Dr. Olivia Okereke and published online December 21st of 2021 by JAMA. Researchers studied about 18,000 depression-free adults for 5 to 7 years. About half were assigned to take a daily 1,000 milligram fish oil supplement. The other half took a placebo. This is the largest and longest randomized trial of fish oil in the prevention of depression. We found that it didn't reduce depressive symptoms or boost mood in healthy older adults, and the supplements should not be used for this express purpose, says Dr. Joanne Manson, the study's senior author. There may be other approaches that help stave off depression, like getting enough sleep, exercising regularly, eating a plant-based diet, and staying socially connected, though we don't have conclusive evidence that any of these strategies work. But we know a healthy lifestyle is tremendously important for preventing many chronic diseases like heart disease, stroke, diabetes, and many forms of cancer, Manson says. Well, it looks like we've run out of time for today's episode of Health Issues. Be sure to listen next time. I sure hope you enjoyed it. I'm Dr. Scott Youngkin, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Health Issues is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138. Thanks for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service. Thank you.